in the book of Matthew that we're studying here, we have again an excellent example of to the Jew first and then to the Greek, because Matthew and Mark were written to the Jews. The first two Gospels were written to the Jews. Not only that, in the epistles of your New Testament, the first epistle written was written by James, and it was written to the 12 tribes scattered. It was written to the Jews. And then the second epistle was Galatians, and we're studying that on Sunday nights, and that was written to the Gentiles. And again, it makes a big deal of differentiating between law and faith, or salvation by faith through grace. Grace through faith again. So notice again that to the Jew first and then to the Gentile doesn't have too much to do with what we're doing here as far as being a witness to the whole world. But again, understand that the framework of this is that the Jews had opportunity first to the gospel. And so as we take that and look at that, and then we revisit Matthew with those glasses on, as it were, to understand that Matthew is written to the Jews. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. Matthew's written as the perspective of a king. Mark is written to the perspective of a servant. Think again about the Jews. They have a king that's coming. And Isaiah 53 says they have a servant that's coming. And all we like sheep have gone astray. And we've turned everyone to his own way. And God hath laid on him, that servant, the iniquity of us all. And so we see again in Isaiah 53 the picture of Christ to the Jews. A picture of Christ as a coming servant. And so we have the first two Gospels. Then we have Luke represents his humanity, the manhood of Christ. If you ever want to see Jesus tired, if you want to see him hungry, if you want to see him thirsty, you just start reading in the book of Luke and you see his humanity presented. And then, of course, John presents him, as Ezekiel says, a face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of a man, and the face of a eagle. You see again that Christ is presented as God in the flesh, who is our creator and founder. Love that verse again in Revelation that we just read, that tells again that he is worthy, praise the Lord. And all things were made by him, and all things were made for him, and he is worthy. And so as we pick up this study again, we're looking now, and I've kind of jumped into the end of this thing because of the miracles that are recorded, or the examples that are recorded here in Matthew chapter 25. So our last look here in this understanding was from the 10 virgins, and we looked at them, and that's not speaking of the rapture of the church. That's not talking about the return of Christ as the rapture of the church. That is talking again about him coming into his kingdom. And here we have now, I tried to erase any transition between the account of the 10 virgins that was given in the first half of this chapter, and now what we call the talents, and the illustration to the stewards. And so today we want to look at the stewards. I preached this message last week in one sentence again, and that is found right here in verse 21. And he said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So again, that's what we're looking for down the road. That's what we're looking for. What's available to us is something else as well, again. But that's what we're to be striving for. That's what we're to be watching for. Even as we're looking for him coming into his kingdom. And before that, we know again from our hunt for the last October conferences, we know that there's going to be a rapture of the church and the temple. God's going to be caught out of this place. And you are the temple of God and will be removed when God removes his Holy Spirit. And so as we look at these things again, understand we're looking at them with new glasses to understand that this is again written to the Jews. Now, let me go ahead and back up, cover the series real quickly. I know a lot of this is introductory, but the main point simple today again as we look at it. So the Olivet Discourse is what's given here that we're looking at, and we're at the tail end of it. The Olivet Discourse includes 8, according to Schofield's outline here that I like, 8 different sections. The first section is Jesus teaching that not one stone will be left upon another in the temple, and the destruction of the temple. And let me go ahead and say that's also the replacement of law again. And we saw again at the crucifixion that the veil was rent in twain. That's the first step of the destruction of the temple. That's the spiritual end of the temple. And so we'll look at that eventually as we get through this series. Number two is, remember the disciple says, when are these things going to happen? And what is going to be the sign of thy coming again? And so that's the second part of the Olivet Discourse. The third part is take heed. There's a bunch of deceivers. I want to preach a message on each one of these. So I won't do it all this morning, but we're going to be in Matthew here for a little while as we look at these. Take heed, there's deceivers out there. And then the Great Tribulation, certainly we'll cover that in October. Then five, the returning of the King. And then what we've just preached, watch for the day is coming. And that's the 10 virgins. The drive is to watch. And we want to look at that again today. And then this one today that we're preaching is on the stewards. And one more coming up is dealing with the Gentile nations afterwards. That's the Olivet Discourses that we're going through here. And I've jumped in the end here. And we're going to work our way back through the beginning. But here, the first thing was to watch. And we looked at the 10 virgins. It's important to that. And then today we're going to look at these stewards again. I trust, again, that this is familiar to you. This is familiar territory. And so we have five of the stewards, five of the servants were given... the first of the servants was given five talents, okay? The first of the servants was given five talents. The second of the servants was given two talents. And the third servant was given... one talent. Let's go ahead and quickly look at that one more time. In verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as." I like that phrase. The kingdom of heaven here is to be differentiated from the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is bigger. The kingdom of heaven is where the heavens rule over this earth. And it's speaking again about the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. When Christ will set up his kingdom, he'll sit on the throne of David. He'll sit in the hills of Zion in the city of Jerusalem. And he will rule again this world for 1,000 years. The Bible says so. And so again, there's a bunch of anti-Zionists and there's a bunch of even Protestants that are refuse again to do that. I remember the Presbyterian Church just took sanctions, as best the Presbyterian Church can, against Israel because they believe they are the new Israel. And so again, they're boycotting Israel. As soon as they said that, I went and bought some sandals from Israel and said, "There, I'm not boycotting them." But anyway, notice again, the reality of that kingdom is sure. And so here we have this kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, I want you to pay attention to this verse 15 here. I got twisted up on this when I was a kid. "And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. To every man," look at what it says, "according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents." What my question here is, what are the talents? What are the talents? Certainly it's symbolizing something. It's a portrayal of something. And I've heard a lot of answers to this preach. And let me give you the wrong answer first. Again, when I was a little kid, I was locked in my room and given a trumpet and made to practice my trumpet for 1 hour a day. And you know, you can't fake practicing a trumpet. I'm learning to read music right now. No, they want to hear the sound of the trumpet again. And so when I was a kid, I was made to learn to play the trumpet. I praise the Lord for a parent that locked me in my room with my trumpet for 1 hour a day when I was a kid, all through the school week. Well, I had weekends off, but again, I had to practice. And listen, as I learned to play the trumpet again, eventually they said, "Wow, you've got a talent." And look at here, they were given five talents. I was given one talent. And again, it was emphasized by my Sunday school teacher. It was emphasized by my youth pastor that you need to use your talents for the Lord. That's what it says in the Bible. Use your talents for the Lord. You've got a talent and to play the trumpet, and you've got to use that talent for the Lord. You know what's wrong with that?
Wrong kind of talent.
Yeah, that's the wrong kind of talent. But what's wrong with that? It's logical. I can figure this out. I read the rest of the story. What happened to the person who did not use his talent for the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
He's thrown into hell. Okay. And so here's the lesson that this little boy learned as a kid was, if you don't get out in front of everybody and play your trumpet and use your talent for the Lord, you're going to hell. Is that what this is saying? Is that the talent it's talking about? If you've got a talent to sing, if you've got a talent to speak, if you've got some kind of a talent, you're going to use it for the Lord. And if you don't use it for the Lord, wow, the price is kind of high here if you don't use that talent for the Lord, isn't it? And so let me go ahead and say, I don't care how well you play, I don't care how well you sing, that's not the talent that it's talking about here. And all through my teen years, boy, I was scared to death. So again, understand that that's not what this is talking about. After I first had that realization, and before I came back and revisited Matthew as written to the Jews, I thought maybe this is the talent that God's speaking of. It goes like this. If you can suck in air, you got a talent from God, all right? If you've got a breath, you better learn to use your breath for the Lord. And if you don't, again, if you don't use that breath to call upon Him, if you don't get saved, again, understand that God's given you some talents. And again, as He's done that, it might be just a breath, but you've got a responsibility to call on the Lord with that breath. And if you don't, then it's altogether fitting that the end, again, in the end there, this one was going to be in cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's altogether fitting. So today I want you to write it down in the margin. I wrote in the margin of my Bible here, talents could be the brain. It could be your character. It could be all five senses that you're given. I heard about a guy when he was out in Indiana. They said he only had two brain cells, but they were close together, so they'd rub together once in a while. And so, listen, if you've only got two brain cells, then use them for the Lord again, and use them to call on the Lord. Because except a person call on the Lord, where are we going to be? You're going to find the result here that's given in this parable. Outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so I'd like to add to my list here again that probably the real talent that was given here. Think about this, written to the Jews. What did the Jews have? What did the Jews have that the Gentiles didn't have? Paul, in his writings in Romans, says this, that to what advantage then is there to be a Jew? And he said, hey, there's a big advantage in being a Jew. Number one is to them was given the oracles of God. There's not a book in your Bible that was not written by a Jew. To them was given the oracles of God. That includes the New Testament. God gave this book through Jews. And so, again, understand that this book here is probably a reference to what is called here the talent. That they had been given the Word of God. They had in their possession a knowledge of the Most High God. Look what it says in verse 15. They were given according to their several ability. I wrote down a question mark here. What is their ability? What are these abilities that determine how many talents they get? And I think it goes back to the guy in Indiana. They said they had two brain cells, but they were close together and could rub together once in a while. And so listen, I think the ability that we have could be a mental ability, could be our character, could be our upbringing, but we've been given, again, some kind of an ability to use what we got. And maybe you've only got enough ability to use one talent, but that one talent is this, that there is a knowledge in you of Jehovah God. Romans chapter 1 says everybody in this world has a knowledge of God and a knowledge that He is judge and a knowledge that we're fallen short. And so if everyone has that knowledge, if they would pursue that, if they would use that, listen, if they would invest that knowledge in a little bit of seeking after God, the Bible says again that God's not willing that any should perish. He'll move heaven and hell. In fact, he already has, so that any one person could accept Christ. The Bible says in John 1 that God hath lighted, the Lord Jesus Christ has lighted the mind, the heart, the individual of every man that's born into this world. I don't care whether you're born in the darkest jungles of the Amazon or the darkest jungles of Chicago. No matter where we're from, again, God has given us two things of knowledge. Number one, everybody knows that they have a creator. Now, our society has pounded and pounded and pounded that we have no creator. We just evolved here by natural circumstances over billions of years. But everybody, when they pillow their head and they set aside the brainwashing that the world has given them, and the brainwashing's deep. I taught on Corning Community College for 3 years. I taught at Elmira College for 2 years. And the brainwashing is deep, that they've again evolved here and they have no creator. The brainwashing is systematic. The brainwashing is corporate. Our whole society is again pitching a lie to the minds of our young people that we have no creator. But listen, when a person pillows their head at night, Bible says in their head some places a knowledge that there is a God. And that they're going to have to answer to him, and that they're coming up short. They know that. And so, you listen, you as a soul winner, you as a witness, you've got an advantage over this world. Because down someplace inside of that individual's life, they know that there's a God. And they know that there's a day of judgment. And they know that they're going to come up short. And again, they're looking for what you and I have. They might be in rebellion against it, but they still, when they pillow their head, they know it. And so anytime you can get the word in, because it's quick and powerful, and it'll have an effect on that pillowed head at night. Second thing they know is that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. The light lighted every man that came into the world. They know that. I've heard a lot of people give an answer, well, I don't think salvation is fair, because what about the person that never heard? Listen, they've heard. God has assured that everybody knows those two things. And so there is a way of escape, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they know that. They might not know all the particulars, but they do know that. So again, that I believe is a talent that's given to every person, a knowledge of God. Some people, according to their several ability, are given 5 talents. And they use that tremendously. Some persons might be only given 1 talent, and they go out and bury that. What would that be representative of? The knowledge that there is a God, a knowledge that they're going to answer to God, they're going to take that out and they're going to bury it. They might bury it in a high school textbook of science that says, hey, we're evolved here. But listen, they're responsible for that knowledge. And God's holding them accountable for that knowledge. And that's where we come to these verses. Look what it says. Well, let me cover verse 19 first. Notice how verse 19 starts. After a long time. It's been 2,000 years, nigh onto, since, we're on Pentecost here today. And so how many years ago was that? If he was born at 4 A.D. and he died at age 33, a few things we know, or 4 B.C., probably because of the calendar mix-up, and he died at age 33. We could sit down here, a few mathematicians might be able to sit down and figure out how many years it's been, but it's been not 2,000 yet, but we're pressing there again. And so again, understand that hey, it's been a long time. And there's a lot of people, it says in Peter, that a lot of people say, you've talked about his coming. He's not really coming. He's coming, all right. And he is coming back, and man is going to answer. And at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That is coming up. And so it's been a long time. And these stewards, again, kept at it for a long time. Think of the lesson we learned about the 10 virgins last week or so. And remember again that there was the 5 virgins were ready. And they had a backup supply of oil. 5 virgins were foolish virgins, were ready. They had a lamp, but they didn't have enough oil to last to the end. And so again, the picture that was painted there is, again, is be prepared. It's going to be a long time. Again, I believe that with Dr. DeHaan that I'm going to be raptured out. I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker, in my lifetime. But again, understand that it might be another 50 years. You don't know. But again, as it is, we need to understand and live as this section of Scripture instructs us, watching. And so it's going to be a long time. And we don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, the Bible says right here in this chapter. We don't know when that's going to happen. But we do know that it is going to happen. And so we're to keep that foremost in our mind. And then look at verse 20. And so he had that received 5 talents came and brought after other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. You know, that could be the whole Pentateuch. It could be the Jews that received the whole Word of God. That could be the books of law, the books of prophecy, the books of poetry, and the books of history, and the books of... There's another category. Again, 5 categories that they broke the Old Testament into. It could be, again, that those are the 5 talents. They give them the whole Scripture. They got the whole story. And those, again, that had the whole story, as it were. I have gained beside them 5 talents more. They invested. They used what they had. Now, if you've got a knowledge of God, and if you've got the book from God, we might have like 66 talents holding in our hand right here. And if we're going to use the talents that we have for God, if we're going to invest them, how are you going to do that? Get an education, get a job, get lots of money? No, that's not it. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so again, if we're going to invest what God has given to us, we're going to have this book open in our lives. We're going to have this book open in our neighbor's lives. Who is our neighbor? I'm glad you asked that at Good Samaritan Baptist Church again. Who is our neighbor? Listen, we need to again have these talents at work in the lives of other people. We need to get God's Word out. We need to be His witnesses. And we've been commissioned to do that. We need to preach the gospel to every creature. We've been commissioned to do that. 5 times we were commissioned to do that. 4 Gospels and Acts. And so we've been commissioned to do that. And this guy had 5 talents. And listen, I believe everybody in this room right here has all 5 talents. You've got 5 talents. If you've got one of these books available to you, you've got the talents again. You could be a prophet as much as Isaiah was. You could stand on any street corner and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and do it with all the authority of 66 books of this Bible. And so the 5 talents that we have available to us, according to our ability, we need to be using them. Verse 20, I got through the middle of that. The 5 talents saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." This his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest what that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, and unto every one, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Is that what your Bible says? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Listen, if we don't use the word of God, even if we're just given 1 talent to apply it to 1 heart, if we don't use the word of God and apply it to our heart, you're going to hell. As we say, they're going to bust hell wide open. As we say again, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the word that you were buried away, the talent as it were, the word that you did not use in your life, it's gone ahead and given to somebody else. And listen, that picture's clear. That we have a responsibility, number one, to ourselves. If we got 1 talent, we're to use that again to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. It's receiving him as our Lord and Savior. Listen, listen, listen. Everyone in this room has got that 1 talent if you don't use it. Everyone in this room has got that 1 piece of knowledge. Every one of your neighbors, every one of your kin has that 1 piece of knowledge that there is a God and I'm coming up short and I need someone to help me. And they have a knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can help them. They have that knowledge. It's in there. And again, they have got to use that talent to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And our jobs is to be ministers of reconciliation. Our jobs is again is to fan that knowledge that they have as best we can and cause again that soul would be responsive to that knowledge and responsive to the Word of God, that talent that they do have. And so we have that responsibility. The guy that's only got 2 talents, he can use it for himself, okay, and purchase for himself a new life. And then he might never share it, but he would at least study it. He would at least learn it. The one that has 5 talents, again, would be standing on the street corner, preaching to every creature that the Lord Jesus Christ saves sinners. And so no matter what talents we got, we're responsible to use them. And if you don't use them at all, listen, I guess it's okay if I put it this way. There's going to be hell to pay. There is a result of not using the Word of God that He's given to us, the knowledge of God that's available to all men. And we have a responsibility to use it. The Jews, again, more than any other, had the Word of God. They had a knowledge of God. They had a first-hand history with God. And so this here given to the Jews emphasizes the fact that they had the words of God. And praise the Lord, by the miracle of a printing press, you and I got a Bible sitting in our lap today. And we have the Word of God, all 66 books. And praise the Lord, we've got a responsibility to use our talents. What should we do then with this whole message? Now let's go ahead and stop and look at it. Let's back up and look at the whole chapter one more quick time. Matthew chapter 25. And understand again, it starts off with this theme, watch, verse 13. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let me go ahead and just give you 3 things that you need to do, even because of this message, even because of this chapter, even because of this likeness of the coming kingdom of God. It's number one, it says watch. When you get up in the morning, you need to consciously think, hey, this could be the day that the Lord comes. What do you think about the first thing you get up in the morning? First thing, I know, I think about arthritis. That's the first thing I think about. But listen, when we're first conscious and we think, boy, our every waking moment ought to be, again, conscious of God. And the first thing we wake up and gain any kind of consciousness, it ought to include God in there. And again, here it says watch. It ought to include a conscious recognition that today could be the day that he returns. Just keeping that ever present. When I was a teenager at Tuscarora Baptist Church, they preached about this so much that I was scared the Lord was going to return any time. I was scared, not because I was saved, I was ready for that. I was scared that I wouldn't have time to marry my high school sweetheart again. I was scared that, man, here's life going and I haven't lived all the life that I want to live yet. And the Lord could return at any moment and it'd be over. Listen, I know I'm old and gray and wake up achy every morning. I'd just assume the Lord come this morning again at dawn. And so again, just to be conscious of it. Ought to affect our behavior. It ought to affect the way we walk. It ought to affect our plans for every day when we're conscious again that the Lord could return today. It ought to affect our consciousness of our souls around us. It ought to affect the way we look at people that today could be the day that the Lord returns. And I wonder if that person's gone. I wonder if the clerk there at the store, I wonder if they're going to go to heaven. I wonder if my loved ones, again, have made that decision. I wonder. We should wonder about souls because today could be the day. Watch, therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. And boy, we ought to have that conscious watching. Number two, notice what it says in the parable here, is that we ought to have the preparations made and have oil in reserve. Now that oil, again, is representative, as we said, of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. And when you get saved, again, we said five things happen to us. Number one, we are converted to Christ. Number two, we are quickened. We're made alive where we used to be dead. Number three, we are justified before God. He looks at Ed Rice just as if he'd never sinned. Number four, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. He moves right in. And number five, we are immersed or baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we become members with him of his body. And so we become immersed in Christ. Listen, those five things happen to you. And again, we ought to, again, just have a renewing of that Holy Spirit of God. There's a difference in between indwelt by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we get up in the morning, sometimes when we live our life, get all tangled in the world, we have the Holy Spirit crammed back into a little closet someplace in our life. And that's not filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we've opened every access there is to the Holy Spirit of God. And so I don't slight the Pentecostals or the Nazarenes for wanting more than one filling of the Holy Spirit. But listen, you only get one indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But listen, if you would just open your heart, he would fill you. And that's what that's talking about having a reserve of the Holy Spirit, having enough Holy Spirit that would last you to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and that you would finish well, as we looked at. So having lamps, again, that's a light, having our light, where does that light need to shine from? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that's that lamp, that's that oil burning in your life, that's the Holy Spirit burning in your life. And the second thing is, where is that lamp supposed to be installed? In the candlestick. What's the candlestick? The church. You need to be a member of a church. And if you're not in church membership, then you need to be. And so again, being a member of a church is an important thing in God's Word. That's where you're to let your light so shine. And so we're to have oil, we're to have a lamp, we're to let our light so shine. And the last right here that's given in this illustration is that, hey, we've been given some things and we need to invest them. Praise the Lord, if you're here, you've already invested in your soul. And you got that one talent. You're a born-again Christian. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're not headed for outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise the Lord, you're saved. Boy, it's good to be saved. But listen, we've got some leftover talents here and we need to use them for the Lord. We need to have this book. Again, I just tried to list out some things that we're to use the book for. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? by taking heed unto thy word, the Bible says. We need to use this book to clean up our lives. We're to meditate on God's word. Psalms 1, and we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And our leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever we doeth shall prosper. Listen, we need to use the word of God to nourish our soul. And then we need to use the word of God, again, on others. We didn't do our pledge this morning. We do our pledge to the Bible. I will make it a light unto my lamp and light unto my feet and a lamp. We'll make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, we need to use God's word. We've got it available to us. We need to apply it. We need to read it. We need to have. I try to do a challenge. Do I spend more time watching TV or reading my Bible in a week? So, using the talent that we have, and then take your Bible, take your King James Bible, and go thump someone over the head with it again. Use your Bible. Don't be afraid of it. You don't have to defend it. I made the likeness in my dissertation that Ken Ham, he's out swinging his Bible around, but it's only a Nerf Bible. And when he hits people with his NIV Bible, it's like hitting people with a Nerf Bible. It doesn't have any effect on them. Listen, you've got a two-edged sword right here. It's not a Nerf sword. It's the real thing. And we need to use God's Word in our life. Memorize it. Give it out. Don't be ashamed to give someone a quoted verse. Because it's the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not your opinion. It's not your persuasion. It's the Word of God that changes life. And that's what we're given as a talent, to use it again for God's glory. Matthew Revisited. I've got 8 more messages that I got to give on these subjects again on the Olivet Discourse. But as we look at these again, understand that, hey, we've got some responsibilities. Here we're headed to revival services coming up next week. And we need to, every day this week, if we would wake up with the consciousness that, hey, today could be a day. Watch. Every day if we wake up and just ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit of God, that He would just bathe our life, that we'd open every room of our heart and give Him whole access to all of our life. And then lastly, if we would learn to use this book, a talent that God has given us. Father, praise You again and thank You for what we looked at here. I thank You again, Father, for the recording that's given about the coming kingdom of God. Father, we're watching for it. We're longing for it. But as we are, I pray again that You'd help us to use the oil that we've got, to hold it in reserve and to be filled. And Father, to use the talent that we've got to pick up this book, to apply it in our lives and to apply it to the lives around us. Father, that we could be witnesses and that we could again be preachers of the gospel. Touch each one here with Your words today. And I pray, Father, if there's a head at a pillow tonight that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, that You'd rob them of sleep, that You'd rob them of comfort, that You'd not let them rest nor sleep tonight without knowing You as a Savior of their soul and the guardian of their life, Father. And I pray again that You'd even tug on hearts of each one that's here. Pray that You'd be with each teenager, each young person, each old person, Father, that we'd again take the words of Your old book and apply them to our life in a way, again, that we could use the talents that You've given us in our lives and in the lives of others. We'll give You all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. Let's go ahead and sing, I think it's 200, 238. In our songbook. Nope, that's not it. 308. Dyslexia is an awful thing. 308 in our songbook. Let's stand and let's go ahead and sing. Let's make this our prayer as we sing it again. I surrender all. It's an easy song to sing. But again, let's make the promise real. All to Jesus I surrender.